Hello and welcome everyone to today's News Tonight, the weeknight news show where we're joined by special guests, our lovely patrons, and our awesome YouTube audience to discuss the day's gaming news. I'm your host, Derek Bittner, and today I'm joined by my good friend and GVG co-founder, Ash Paulson, GVG's resident graphic artist, Daniel Avedan. You're not that Daniel. Got the frizz for it, but not quite that one. Daniel Alba, get DAs, it all works. Along with our very special guest, content creator, artist, writer, editor, and all-arounder for Did You Know Gaming, the cartoon gamer himself, Malik. How you doing, Malik?
Hello. I'm doing well, and this is a little surreal for me, I have to say.
Dude, as I was saying before we started, it goes both ways. I'm such a big fan of Did You Know Gaming as well, so to hear your voice... like just chatting with you, I'm like, oh, this is so cool. We're like, it's just a big, we're all fans of each other. It's cyclical.
Yeah.
I know. It's so
for
nuts.
Real.
And, you know, Malik is a cartoon gamer. We can't reveal the face. That's just not right. So, you know, who
it's
would not want
to
be on an interview show with Space Ghost? It only makes sense.
I just realized that's what it looks like in the video. That's hilarious. That's so much better.
And Ash and I are coast to coast.
That's true. We're coast to coast. And I was actually going to mention, I love your Space Ghost profile pic because my dad and I always used to watch Cartoon Planet together. And he and I both, like, one of our favorite shared cartoon characters of all time is Brack. And we just love Space Ghost in general, just in general.
Everyone
and
like
so
beans.
I love the callback.
I watched the Brack show. That was a good time.
Oh,
Zorak
so
was
good.
Zorak
Cartoon
was
Planet
my favorite. I'm sorry. I love Zorak.
You can't... Zorak's. I mean, there's no wrong answer, right?
Right.
I mean, all three characters are fantastic. I'm such
great.
A big Space
three.
Ghost fan. Yeah.
Excuse me. Four. I forgot about Moltar.
Oh, I forgot about Moltar. Oh my God, it's been too
original
long.
Original host
horrible...
of Toonami.
100 lashes to myself right now.
Oh, God.
I completely forgot about Moltar.
Four old
man.
Men reminisce about Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume if you're a Space Ghost fan, I'm going to assume you're a little older there, Malik. Apologies if not.
I actually got into space. I knew Space Ghost was a thing, but I actually got into it in 2019 because we didn't have Cartoon Network up in Canada until like 2012. It was Teletoon, but got Space Ghost and Brack and all that stuff. But I didn't watch it until a couple years back and fell in love with it.
So I'll date myself even more. Yeah. I was watching the original Space Ghost on Cartoon Network before Coast to Coast started. So I was aware of the character before that.
Nice.
Because I would just consume every cartoon I could.
Uh-huh.
So
I knew of the character before that, but I wasn't a fan of Space Ghost before Coast to Coast. Like, I knew vaguely of his original show, but I never really watched it, and I never really got into Space Ghost until
not
Coast
great.
To Coast. Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
It's your typical thing. Apologies for the late start. Amy, and this goes out to Amy, assuming she's watching, because Kai, she was just a little lonely before I had to get head out, so she's just hanging out here, cleaning up a little bit, and Kai was roaming around, and he saw a bright button on my tower to hit. Happens to be the power button right before we were getting started, so I had to kind of reset up everything. So, I mean, you know, he's pushing dad's buttons. No, I'm not mad at all. It's just funny.
Of course.
What does this button do?
Yeah, exactly.
But no, it's just wild to hear your voice chatting along with us, Malik. And as I said before the show, it is on my content creator bucket list to narrate a Did You Know Gaming video someday. Maybe when there's another Mega Man related thing to do, but I want to do it. It's a goal of mine. So I'm seriously such a big fan of what you guys do over there. Do over there, man. Keep up the great work.
Oh, well, thanks. I know you guys had Dr. Lava on here a while back.
Yes.
Yeah, he's awesome. Like, the whole team, just it's such an honor to get to be a part of it. And I mean, again, it's crazy. It's like, wait, we're people like us?
How do you not know people like you?
You know, it's like I work in a vacuum, and then when you see like people like putting articles out and talking about, did you see that new Did You Know Gaming? It's like, wait, what? Okay.
Nice. I also know that you were one of the artists who applied for the Metroid movie that I put together.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
I do remember that.
Yeah. Wow. You made me think. I'll put it that way. That was so hard. I do not wish that upon anybody, having to choose between artists for this, a project like that. It's like, it sucked sending out all those, like, sorry, I didn't quite make it.
No, it was okay. I remember you wrote some really nice stuff. I was like, oh, wow. I can't believe Derek. He saw this stuff and he had all these nice things to say. That was more than enough for me, because I knew it was sort of like a give and take sort of thing, where it's like, I know if I get this, I am going to be absolutely swamped. But, you know, I just want to try and see what happens. Just share my stuff out there. So,
yeah.
It was.
Oh, where are all those? Where are all those nice things when you're talking to me, Derek? Where are all those? I don't hear all these nice things.
You got all your nice things when we first met. Now that I know you now, so I don't need to say nice things.
Got it.
Oh, man, at least you got the application out. I was so close to submitting, like, at least like for voiceover, but my quality was not where it was back then, so I didn't think it was going to be something I could really try for. I remember I was trying for, like, the elder, like, for a deeper voice or something like that. I don't know, someone on there, but at least you got your work out there.
Yeah,
definitely worth something.
I think I also auditioned for, like, one of the voice roles. I think I did Ridley, but I was like, I hope I don't get this, because it's gonna shred my vocal cords.
I Luis, who got the role, just killed it, and he's actually starting to appear in a lot of like anime and stuff now. He's doing wonderful. Like, I feel like how did I get somebody that, like that to apply for that? It's just crazy to me to see him take off.
I really wanted to apply, but I felt weird about it being like a GX in-house thing. Like, I felt weird being favorites. Like, I didn't want to like even put you in a position of having to deal with any appearance of favoritism. So I'm like, you know what? I really would like to do this, but it doesn't feel like the right thing to do.
It was so rough going through all those. But,
oh, I'm sure.
Anyway, don't want to hold up on that too long. We just talk about my old show. By the way, if you want to watch the Metroid movie, it is up on the GVG channel. It's, you know, biggest mistake that I made with that is I split it up into the three parts. I should have just released it as all one big thing. Oh, well, live and learn. Either way, before we get to our, anything really, the big thing we got to talk about, of course, is our sponsor for today, The Game Orb, who has been supporting us for a year now at this tier, which is crazy. Just one year supporting just us, like little old us. That's incredible. And if you want to bring that love back their way, The Game Orb is a YouTube channel that brings commentary and gameplay footage from the Nintendo Switch and Xbox Series X gaming systems. While games like Sonic Colors Ultimate and Splatoon 2 can be seen on the channel, The Game Orb will have a new Mario Party Superstars video every weekday this month. So might be over by now. I'm not sure. But it will include...
You know, we need to get some updated copy for February.
Yeah, it includes a match with Ash, Steve, and a friend of his, as well as all five boards being 30 turns each, and a ranking of all the minigames and groups of which they've originated from. So be sure to subscribe to The Game Orb at the link in the description, as well as check out their friend, the Galactic Reaper. And we currently have them at 414 subscribers. Getting up there. I'm just so happy we got above 400.
Me too. And I did just post both their channel links in the YouTube chat as well. So please, if you haven't already, go show The Game Orb and Galactic Reaper some love. Because again, they've been supporting us for a year now. So thank you. Seriously. One full year of The Game Orb. Thank you so much, Game Orb. We really, really appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Before we get to the stories, we do have a few super chats. One from apparently a super fan of yours, Ash, because Stephen Welton with three super chats saying, pin is blocking. What? Here we go. Stephen Welton saying, hey, with a dollar. Well, I'll just go through all three. $1.99, $4.99, and $1.99. So thank you so much for basically $8.
Thank you.
So thank you. He says, hey, Ash, when will you stream Illusion of Gaia?
I would like that to be the first game I stream when I have a regular streaming schedule. Obviously, you know, I've got a day job, and that kind of, between that and, you know, helping to run our Patreon and Discord and everything, that keeps me really busy. But that, I think I would like that to be among the very first games I do stream. And I do actually have my streaming PC ready to go. Really, I'm just at the point now where I need to be able to get a second monitor before I can make the switch, because right now I'm rocking two monitors with my MacBook and an external monitor. Mm-hmm. And going down to one monitor is just going to kill my productivity too much, both in terms of GBG and my day job. So I'm basically just, once I can pay for a second monitor, I'm going to get that streaming PC set up and it's off to the races, man. And thank you. Yeah. For, you know, asking me. Thank you for caring. I mm-hmm. hope you can join me when I do eventually.
They went over and even said, I remember when you were with Game Explain, you streamed Chrono Trigger. He loved every minute of it. Look forward to more streams like that.
Thank you.
So there you go.
I'm sure you remember then when the streamer's curse hit me and I got completely party wiped by the final boss, which has never happened to me in a casual playthrough of Chrono Trigger.
Wow.
Literally ever. It's an easy ass game. Everybody knows how easy it is. And yet I got party one shotted by the final boss on stream, and I'll never forget it.
That's wild. You could also honestly do a just its own video talking about why you love it so much, what makes it stand out, or even talking about what is that trilogy called, Ash?
Oh, the Soul Blazer trilogy.
Soul Blazer. Like, why people should care about the Soul Blazer trilogy.
To be fair, I haven't played any of the first game, and I've only played like half of Terranigma, so I don't feel like I can really speak with authority on anything other than Illusion of Gaia, but I could talk about Illusion of Gaia and how much I love that game and why I love it forever. I just adore the hell out of that game.
There we go. Oh, apparently it's a quadrilogy.
Quadrilogy.
Huh, I didn't know there's a fourth game.
I didn't either. I'm actually curious.
Yeah. Watcher TL with a $12.69 donation. Thank you so much. Says this should round down to $8.88 after YouTube takes their cut. Happy Lunar New Year. Oh, that's awesome. And happy Lunar New Year to you.
Thank you.
Apparently,
yeah.
There's Lunar celebrations out in LA, apparently.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what my city is. Will y'all calm down out there? Jeez. What's going on? Man. But yes. Thank you so much for the donation, for the super chat, and happy Lunar New Year to you as well. Thank you.
Next up is RecBCQ with a $3.62 donation. Just felt like donating a random number. Well, thank you for that random number. Well,
thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
GG Alan Wake with $4.99 donation says, those unfamiliar with Space Ghost, look up Justice Hole, Kentucky Nightmare, and Knifing Around.
Justice Hole, that name is just...
I know.
We have to move on because there are just too many inappropriate jokes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Sonic and Mega Man 531 with another matchup for us, $2, saying Plankton from SpongeBob versus Cell from Dragon Ball. I think it would have to be Cell.
I would think so. I know shit all about Plankton from SpongeBob or anything about SpongeBob.
I mean, he's the size of Plankton, unless you're talking about like actual Cell version of Cell.
Cell versus Cell.
This has to be
Cell. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Can he breathe underwater? I don't know.
Good point.
That's true. I feel like Cell, though.
Yeah. Definitely Cell.
Yeah.
Screamo Shame with the $5 super chat, our last before we get to the news, sent with $5. Thank you so much. Saying picked up Pokemon on Friday, beat it Sunday morning, started a new, better paying job today, and got new shoes. Got to keep the good vibes going. Well, that's awesome.
Wow. Nice. That is congratulations. Great.
And
the fact you could beat Pokemon in a weekend. Oh my God. Good for you.
I remember that's when I had that amount of time. That does not happen anymore. how are you feeling on, Pokemon Legends, Malik?
Oh, I am loving it so far. Like, I've been playing it the entire weekend, like, in 5+ hour sessions. But, it's so good. And I'm just, I can't say much more without, like, spoiling stuff. But, man, there is so much in it. Like, just like any good Pokemon game, it has me completely suckered in. And I'm not going to do anything else until I beat it. Me and my brother are playing it side by side right now. And we're just like, dude, did you see that? You caught this? It's like, I caught this. Wait, this is here? It's like, what's going on with these alpha Pokemon? So good.
It's so good at hanging a carrot in front of you to go, like, you could go do this thing. You could go do this thing. Here's the main way, but all these other directions that you can go. And it's so easy to get just lose track of time.
I go off the beaten path all the time. It's like, I think I should probably save this area for later because I'm probably going to come back here, but there's a Pokemon right there and I just want to catch it and see what it's about.
Well, I was actually telling Derek earlier, we were talking about Pokemon, and I have gone so far off the beaten path, even in the very early of the game, because I'm so sick of the tutorials, that I ended up getting to 2 stars before you, like right before you get the quest to go find your first alpha Pokemon up in the mountains. That's literally how early I am and still in the game, and I'm at 2 stars.
Wow.
And maybe I've been playing it wrong, because please don't kill me. I'm still a little bit lukewarm on it. I like it, but I don't love it yet. And mm-hmm. I got to give it some more time, and I'm going to give it more time. But it hasn't. I feel like I'm surrounded by all these people who are like, oh, it's so good, and oh my God, I'm loving it so much. And I'm over here like, yeah, maybe. I think I'm liking it, but I'm not quite there yet with it.
Yeah, it's been so nice to like see the majority of people enjoy a Pokemon game and not have so much like bad stuff
I know,
to say about
I am
it.
So used to vitriol.
It's true. Genuinely just fascinated about this game, and it's so nice to see people just enjoying Pokemon and sharing experiences, and kind of like with Breath of the Wild again, like everyone's having their own different stories and experiences throughout their playthrough right now, and it's just so cool and nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Absolutely. But all right, well, let's go ahead and get to the first story as we talk about another long-running series, and this one actually finally getting a TV series. Let's bring it up. So, the first trailer for Halo has released, live action, finally happening after all these rumors, all these news. I remember, what is it, almost a decade ago, talking about like a movie, and the guy directed, District 9 was supposed to make a Halo movie, and it just never materialized, and just, it just seems like cursed, and it's wild to actually see it happening, and it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm just not that into Halo, so it's hard for me to speak to how accurate it is to the games and if Halo fans are going to be made happy by it, but it looks pretty cool. Ironically, I watched the trailer with my wife last night, and I was the one who was like, okay, well, yeah, it looks kind of cool, and my wife, who's just really into sci-fi in general, she doesn't care about Halo, but she's like, I actually feel like I'd want to watch this or at least check it out because just from the pure sci-fi angle, which from that angle, I can see it.
You know, that's funny because I just had the exact same experience with Amy when, you know, she was in the room. I had it on to watch it before this because I just didn't get a chance. And I'm like, yeah, it looks pretty good. And he was like, you know, I'm actually really interested in this. I'm like, really? Because she showed no interest to Halo before at this point.
Yeah.
And I mean, it looks good. I like that they got the actress who plays Cortana to play Cortana in this, like even in live action. That's a good get. I've seen some people complaining about her look, but
I didn't like her look.
The way they digitized her is a little weird, but it's cool that she is there. I'm gonna give it a pass for now. I guess what I'm saying.
The Derek, your thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with Rob, though. Rob Armanx in our live audience chat saying a bit weird that they didn't also get Master Chief's voice actor, which, interesting creative choice not to use the actual video game Master Chief voice.
Now, I read a thing about the article where, because originally Jen Taylor, who is Cortana, she wasn't originally supposed to be the voice of Cortana in this TV series. It was somebody else. But because of the COVID pandemic, that actor wasn't able to do Cortana, so they got Jen Taylor to do it. But that's what I heard from IGN said that. So
I think I remember that story.
Yeah,
have no interest in Halo. I'm just saying
it's a talking point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wish we had somebody on the panel today who is a like gigantic Halo fan, because I'd be curious to know how hardcore fans are feeling about this. I've checked out the Resetter threads and
I know a lot of Halo lore because I have played the first three games, first four games.
Oh, okay.
And Reach and ODST. So I played a lot of the games. I just wouldn't call it's all been the single player, just not the multiplayer, which I guess this is based on the single player, so that all works. And they're definitely pulling from a lot of different things, but elements and time frames. But I think it all works. The part that I'm not sure of that they mentioned in the trailer is we can control him and he's going away from the system of being controlled. I'm like, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I guess it gives a bit more for Master Chief to do, have an arc, but I'm not sure of him breaking free from control from this, the Marines is what the best way to go. I don't know.
Right. I'll probably check it out. Again, just because my wife seems to have some latent interest in it as just a sci-fi fan. We'll probably at least check the first episode out and see how it goes. Mm. And go from there.
Do you have Paramount Plus? Sure.
Ooh, me?
No.
No.
Ash.
I do through a friend, so okay. I'm piggybacking off it.
Yeah. You're like me. It's like, hey, I got this one. We'll put it into the pool with everybody else having this one. It's the only way you can watch all these different streaming services anymore. You got to just pool your resources together with friends.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's how I have, like, what is it? Vudu. I have Vudu through a friend as well, and Disney Plus through my sister-in-law. I know. Like, I have Disney Plus through my sister-in-law, like, and we give them our Hulu and our Netflix. It's all a big, you know, big, happy streaming family. Web.
Half of these streaming services aren't even available in Canada. We get no HBO Max. We get no Hulu. We just have to wait for this stuff to air on conventional TV. But yeah.
That's weird.
It is weird, but I'm one of those weirdos who still watches conventional TV, so I'm not complaining too much.
In some ways, enough. It's easier, I suppose.
Yeah, huh. I think so. And you can keep it on your DVR forever, and as long as it doesn't glitch out, which has happened to me a few times.
Oh, but no.
It's the price I pay.
Hendrix Trog in our live audience chat says the main streaming services they use are just Criterion, Shudder, and Retro Crush. I haven't heard of any of those. Where are these?
Criterion is like the not highbrow movies.
Oh, it's like Criterion movie collection.
Yeah, Shudder is horror movies, and I don't know what Retro Crush is.
Retro Crush is an anime thing.
Oh, right. I just have Crunchyroll, Funimation, and then through my friends, I have all the others: Netflix, Amazon Prime.
Okay. Criterion stuff. Collection makes sense in hindsight. I just never heard of it as a streaming service. But yeah, Shudder and Retro Crush, never heard of those.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's not long. I think it's April or May that this comes out. So I'm actually kind of shocked at just how close it is.
I thought it was March, actually.
March. It must be March then. So
yeah. So something is kind of related to this. It's cool that it isn't one of our actual news stories, but it's kind of cool pointing out. VGA Fanatic in our live audience chat reminds us that speaking of video game TV adaptations, David Hayter, the Solid Snake voice actor David Hayter, is penning the TV adaptation of Alice Madness Returns, which is kind of cool.
He is a script writer, so it makes sense. Like, he was working on MGS script for a long time. He did the original Watchmen script.
He did.
It got adapted. A lot of weird news because It Takes Two is also getting into some sort of film thing. It seemed a little nebulous, which is why I didn't include it. But yeah, It Takes Two is apparently getting some sort of film adaptation.
Oh, right. Yeah. I read that briefly earlier.
So yeah, cool stuff. We'll see what actually ends up happening. But I'm curious what Halo fans will actually say about Halo. Will this be a big new thing or nobody care because it's on Paramount Plus? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Before we move on to the next story, though, we got another $1.99 donation from GG Allen Wake saying, was that cartoon gamer with the Brack impression? I believe so.
Yes, that was me.
Indeed.
I see a comment in the live chat. I can read his Brack real quick. Just go, hey, guys, my TV somehow grew legs and walked away. What should I do?
God, I love that character so much.
It's so good.
Very rarely have I seen my dad laugh harder than when we would watch Cartoon Planet together. So something about Brack just absolutely tickled him in a way that I've never seen anything else. And Hot Fuzz, actually. He loves British humor, and he and I both love Hot Fuzz a lot.
Hot Fuzz is amazing.
I need to see Hot Fuzz. I've seen what was that other movie those guys did?
Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead. Yes, I saw that. Loved it.
Oh, Hot Fuzz is better in my opinion.
Dude, if you love Shaun of the Dead, you're going to love Hot Fuzz probably even more. It's so good.
I've watched that movie
a little long, but it's so good.
No. I've watched that movie many times. I'll have it on the background. I don't even need to watch it. I hear it and I know exactly what's going on screen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It's such a good. Yeah.
I look forward to it.
Yeah. You should.
So, we kind of struck out as Halo fans for this new trailer. How are we going to do on the next one where we got a new state of play coming focused on Gran Turismo 7 for 30 minutes?
Ooh.
You know, I don't personally have interest in Gran Turismo. I admit it. I love arcade racers, but I'm not into driving sims. But you know what? We reacted to the Horizon State of Play. It seems only fair that we react to the Gran Turismo State of Play for fans of that series, even though we won't be quite as knowledgeable, I guess, about what we're watching.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know if our audience cares, I'll be honest.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Yeah, they have a new story as an interest check instead.
Honestly, that is kind of that, because I'm like, I mean, who is into the Gran Turismo series? I only have one good memory of it, and that's from Gran Turismo 2 or 3, where I played with my dad. But my dad's literally a mechanic who can tune up the car exactly how it needs to be done. It was literally, I'm the driver, he's the mechanic, he'll tune it up based on how he sees it driving for me. And then all of a sudden it's amazing and I can actually win this game. If I had to do it myself, I have no clue what I'm doing. And it's a mess.
What Taniac says in our patron chatter asks, haven't you been enjoying Forza Horizon 5? And yes, I have. But that game is kind of half sim, half arcade racer. And you can just completely ignore all the tuning and sim elements if you want, which is what I do, and just have a great time just blasting through Mexico in whatever car you want and drifting in cool ways. And so for me, when you take the arcadiness out of it and you only have the simulation elements, I love driving, but I'm not a gearhead. You know, I love the open road, but I'm not like into tuning cars. I don't know the first thing. I can change oil and a tire, and that's about it. So yeah, it's just not my thing. The whole,
that's honestly more than
hardcore
most.
Hard focus.
Yeah,
that's definitely true. Yeah, that's true.
You go.
Oh,
ahead.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
I was just gonna make a joke saying I would watch a 30-minute state of play on a RC Pro-Am.
You know, I'd be down for that.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That game is hard. But what are we going to say, Daniel?
Oh, just like Gran Turismo always seemed like a series for a very specific audience, and I never felt like I was part of that audience. And I'm more for the arcade kind of racing simulations and not so much for like real life, like actual tuning and all that sort of thing. I don't think my brain can wrap around all that sort of technical side. So, yeah, I mean, for those who are interested in 30 minutes of that, like, awesome. But I'm not sure how much we can squeeze out of talking about Gran Turismo as casual fans.
Yeah.
It might just come out as, ooh, pretty. Which, it's going to be really very nice. Pretty.
They always look good.
Yeah. It's definitely going to look good. Now, that said, if they want to do, like, if Nintendo ever wanted to do a Cruisin' Series focused direct on the next game in the Cruisin' Series, sign me up, man. I'd listen to 30 minutes or an hour of info only about Cruisin'. Hell yeah.
How about the Burnout series?
Oh, I wish Burnout would come back.
Burnout and then the...
Burnout 3 is still my favorite. I'm a little salty that Burnout Paradise was the one to get the remaster and not 3, because Paradise is fine, but I have issues with its open world and having to drive back to the beginning. You have to either hit the restart button or drive back to the beginning if you miss that chance. Burnout 3 was just core arcade fun.
For me, the ultimate... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Dan.
I had a lot of fun playing... it was Burnout Revenge. That's the one that I played the most in PS2
too.
Days. Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. That was like... Oh, me and my friends were addicted to that one back then.
Mm-hmm.
I played a lot of Burnout Paradise and liked it. I didn't play the other Burnout games, but Paradise I loved. I was always more of a Ridge Racer guy, and that for me is my golden goose. I want to live to see the return of core Ridge Racer. I hope it happens someday. Bandai Namco, the car is in your court. Make it happen. Come on. But like Ridge Racer 6 is one of my favorite racing games of all time. 7 as well. I just miss that series so much. But I love how this is supposed to be about Gran Turismo, and yet we've really just slid into talking about all the arcade racing series.
Yeah.
Which is probably the problem here, which is we're just not into driving sims that much compared to arcade racers. So
I mean, it is remarkably accurate to the way the cars actually work. Like, again, my dad knows nothing about games, but he saw all the stuff. He's like, oh yeah, I know exactly how to fix this up, so you're good to go. And I'm just like blown away.
Yeah. Your dad would probably love Forza as well then, because there are so many different menus that are all about tuning, very fine tuning, like the suspension and the anti-roll bars and the tire pressure. And it actually does change how each car like handles. And there are over 500 cars. So it seems like this game is like a gearhead's dream. Mm-hmm. And I feel like your dad would just go wild.
It was one of those things where when I played normally, like checking out, because there was always something I saw but never picked up. So I was like, you know, let's actually check out Gran Turismo this time. And the cars felt so stiff and I wasn't going anywhere. And then he like took a look at what I was working with and was like, oh, here, let me try this. And there you go. Is that better? And like, bam. It's like, just, it felt good. So right. I will always have that memory, but I can't play without him.
What's funny is that we haven't even mentioned the fact that, and Wataniac and Classy Mudkip and our patron chat remind us of this, Forza Horizon itself is an arcadey spinoff of Forza Motorsport, which is like Microsoft's or Xbox's Gran Turismo. Like, Forza Motorsport started out as a driving sim, and then it branched off into the more arcadey Horizon series. We didn't even bring up Motorsport, ironically enough. But yeah, Horizon itself, I keep confusing myself because I'll say Horizon without Forza, but then I'll think Horizon Forbidden West. It's all very confusing.
Forza Horizon Forbidden West.
Yeah, Forza Horizon Zero Dawn, as Moon Rota says.
Perfect. Yeah. All right, well, that's about all we can say about that. So let's go ahead and take a look what's that?
Really quick, just I guess, well, since we're talking about reaction streams, this is just a quick reminder. Tomorrow, Yacht Club Games director, Yacht Club Games presents 2 p.m. Pacific. We'll be reacting. Come join us. It'll be a lot of fun.
Hopefully, should be. But yeah. All right. Before we move on to the next topic, we got a few more super chats. First up, David Barron with $10. Thank you so much. Saying, my favorite gaming channel and a super cool buddy of mine together. This is the best late birthday gift ever.
Aw, thanks, wow. David.
Thank you, David. Your favorite. Nice. Your favorite. Wow. Thank you.
That is something.
So, wow. That is incredibly kind of you. Thank you very much. And just thank you for
I'm amazed it's not the channel that your buddy works for. Homecoming Hero with a $5 super chat saying, let's all close our eyes and pretend Gran Turismo is a Fast and Furious game. Oh, wait, we have Cruise and Blast Cartoon Gamer. You are awesome. Love your work.
There you go. People are just too nice to me today.
It's not impossible.
Hey, you deserve it, man. Nah, you deserve it.
Yeah, of course.
Sonic and Mega Man 531 back with another $2 face off. Diddy Kong versus Bongo from Danimals. You choose. Diddy Kong, you got some peanut gun.
It's gotta be Diddy Kong. I feel like we're committing sacrilege by not siding with Bongo, but I feel like realistically, this has gotta be Diddy Kong.
I don't know who Bongo is, so I'm just gonna go with Diddy Kong.
Your life is better for it.
Yep, exactly. Do not worry about it. Do not worry about it. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to the next story. One of our big ones, since, you know, we gotta get some prologue, get some rev up there, and, you know, it's Final Fantasy. It's appropriate I make you guys wait. So let's bring that up. So, Yoshinori Kitase has said, since this is, is it today or was it yesterday? I'm pretty sure it's today.
Yesterday
was the 25th anniversary of Final Fantasy VII releasing in Japan. And as part of that, Kitase said he hopes to reveal more info on Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 this year, if possible. But, you know, with all the state of things and Final Fantasy being Final Fantasy, it might still not actually happen. So there's that. But they also put out a statement on the Final Fantasy VII Twitter where they said Nomura has stated that more Final Fantasy VII projects are coming beyond Ever Crisis. So,
which is wild. And the First Soldier. So we've got the First Soldier and Ever Crisis Remake Part 2. And even more coming in the FF7 universe, which is wild to think about. I don't know if they need necessarily more, but I'll take more.
It's amazing how high of its own echelon that Final Fantasy VII is above like everything else that's Final Fantasy. Like, we'll celebrate, we'll make our own logo for Final Fantasy VII's 25th anniversary. Didn't do one for 6, probably not going to do one for 8 or 9 or 10, but here we have like this fancy logo. The only ones that really matter, Final Fantasy I when the series started and Final Fantasy VII. The real anniversaries that matter for Square.
I mean, to be fair... It is the game that got basically made RPGs popular.
Well, yeah.
In the West. Yeah, no, it definitely put JRPGs on the map in the West in a way they had never been prior to its release. Sure. I mean, they were relatively popular on 16-bit systems, but they were still considered somewhat niche compared to what FF7 did to really make them go mainstream. And, I mean, this is a world I love. I love going back to it. You know, you all know Remake Part 2 is one of my most anticipated games right now, and it will be until it comes out, whenever that is. I'm looking forward to whatever they've got cooking, as well as EverCrisis. EverCrisis is something that kind of fell off the radar for a little while, I guess. They announced it, and then it just kind of
went away for a bit. It's only on phones as far as we know so far.
Yeah. But what's interesting about this is that they also released a clip of the opening movie from EverCrisis, and it's primarily First Soldier content. And the implication here is that the way I guess they're rolling this out is in chronological order of every, you know, installment in the FF7 universe. So instead of starting with the main game, with Cloud and Tifa and everybody, they're starting with the stuff that takes place before that. So First Soldier, before Crisis, and then the main game, I guess. Or Crisis
Core.
No,
Crisis Core.
Yeah. And
theoretically, it would go First Soldier, before Crisis, Crisis Core,
right,
main game, Advent Children, and then Dirge of Cerberus.
And I just don't know. I mean, I guess we don't have actual confirmation of how they're rolling everything out yet, but it seems as though they're doing it in chronological order. And if they do, am I alone in thinking that having Crisis Core's content before the main game kind of takes the piss out of one of the biggest plot points and reveals in 7 proper? I feel like it takes some of the emotional weight out of 7 proper. I don't know.
Yeah, it does.
But
that's what all the other ones are for. This might be just for fans being like, hey, see, here it is all lined up, which has its own fun flavor to it.
Right.
Hmm.
So I don't, unless they change parts of the stories for EverCrisis, you know, and they do a different version of the story, but this seems like this is meant to be more faithful to the original game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
How are you feeling, Malik? Are you a Final Fantasy fan?
Nope. I'm sorry.
Did I just bring you on the completely wrong episode or something? Because
No, it's okay. If you guys ever talk about Donkey Kong or Rare, hit me up. That'd be crazy. But I'll go on for days. But
oh, no.
It's okay.
Fair enough.
So, I guess in cartoons does not go over to anime?
No, it does. I've been watching a lot of... I've just been rewatching OG Dragon Ball. I saw OG Yu-Gi-Oh! Recently and a bunch of other stuff. But I guess the closest I've gotten to Final Fantasy is I finally beat the original Paper Mario on N64 after having it over 10 years. I had it for 10 years and I finally just sat down and did it. And it's so good.
It is.
One of my favorites.
Seven especially is anime as hell. I think you might enjoy it, but I mean, who knows?
I think if I wanted to play Final Fantasy VII, I would want to start with the original because at least there it's the full game.
Yeah, you should.
I would start with the original.
And Seven Remake does some things that might make it a little harder to be the jump on point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Remake, I think is absolutely still able to be loved and enjoyed in a vacuum, but I think you get more out of it if you're able to appreciate the very specific parts where it diverges from your expectations of the original. So yeah. I would say if you're going to play FF7, start with the original. I think you're right on about that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. This entire celebration of Final Fantasy VII is definitely for people that have played the original. They know like the main like story of it. That's pretty much what Final Fantasy VII Remake is. It's kind of like for people that know the story, but it still throws something into there to make it interesting that isn't exactly the same thing as the original. But everything like from Crisis Core to Advent Children, just some other layer of that to enjoy for fans out there. And for anyone that is any bit interested in the series, like playing the original is probably the best way because it's the full story of what they originally created.
But
Remake is still a wonderful way to, you know, enjoy the characters, enjoy everything, which makes me as excited for part two because I started to play Remake part one a little bit last month, and just going through it again a bit from the beginning and just seeing how much detail is put into the world, how much it's alive, how much it's breathing, and playing the episode with Yuffie as well, just has me excited to see like the level of quality and attention and detail that they're bringing to this. And it's just great to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, completely agree. I'm so excited to see where they go with part two of Remake. I don't, it's not going to be for a while. 16 is going to hit first for sure, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't expect to see anything from part two for quite a while, but hopefully they do at least get, as they're suggesting, that we'll at least get some sort of news announcement.
I'm hoping 2023. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool if we could get 2023.
Yeah.
You think they'll wrap it up in just a part two, or do you think there'll be a part three afterwards?
There's definitely a part three to this.
You think so?
The parts that they covered, since you're not familiar with Final Fantasy, what they covered in the remake part one is basically the opening 5 or 6 hours.
Wow.
Really fleshed out, though.
Yeah.
Extremely fleshed out. Like a 40-hour game, yeah. I would think it would have to be three games, but that also means we're probably not going to see the end of the remake series until close to like 2030 at this point. Oh. 2027, 2028. Yeah. I don't think we're seeing part two until 2023.
I'm saying 2023. I'm hopeful for 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking like maybe late 2023.
But yeah, I imagine part two will probably end at the end of part disc one, maybe a little after that to get to a certain scene, but
yeah,
because there's a lot of scenes at the beginning of disc two that they could end on.
That's true.
Yeah, there is.
And don't worry, by the way, we're not going to go into any spoilers.
Oh no, definitely no spoilers.
No.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how old the game is. We're not, we know there are those of you out there who are still going to play the original, like Malik here. So we're not going to spoil anything. Yeah.
And honestly, Disc 3 doesn't have a lot of story, so it's mainly just the rest of Disc 2, which honestly doesn't have a ton as well.
Right.
Yeah.
I would like to see the remake's take on the snowboarding minigame, though.
Oh, God, yeah.
That would be really cool.
Just real quick before we move on to the next subject, what do you think Nomura is talking about when he's like, more Final Fantasy VII titles? Are we talking remakes of like Crisis Core, or are we saying like maybe an HD version? I should say is a better idea, because God, I'd love that. Or is it like more brand new projects?
I kind of got the sense it was more brand new projects, which is kind of wild. Like, it doesn't seem like there need to be, since there are already so many, but. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I got. I got like the idea that it's more original projects in the pipeline. Hell, at this point, you have enough different FF7 games and, you know, pieces of media that you could have a literal theater rhythm Final Fantasy VII just dedicated to only FF7.
That is
just
true.
Do that. You don't even need to have every Final Fantasy game in it. But yeah, I got the idea that it's new projects.
Maybe I am still hopeful, especially with the bit they showed in Remake, that we get a Crisis Core remaster. That thing needs to get ported off the PSP and more widely available.
I hope so. I've never played Crisis Core, and I want to. It looks so interesting as far as the different perspective and Zach's whole story, but I haven't actually played that. I don't even own a PSP.
There should be a Crisis Core HD for exactly people like you. Crisis Core is so good. It's so good. Oh man!
Like I know how it ends, but
yeah. Well, everybody knew how it ended, but the way. Oh man, it is wild comparing that scene, the ending of Crisis Core, to where it's shown in the original Final Fantasy VII.
Oh yeah. Even if you think you know how it ends, you're not ready. Trust me.
No,
you're not ready.
Not at all.
By the way, while we were talking about this, Juan Delgado in our patron chat asked if I had seen the Kingdom Hearts Twitter accounts. Post for FF7's 25th anniversary, and it is awesome. I'm going to post it and repost it in live audience chat for anybody who wants to know what I'm talking about. But it's so cool. And if Derek, if you haven't seen
it, I've seen it. Daniel, yeah,
it's definitely really cool too.
It's so cool. I love Scarlet and Kylo in the back. That's so neat. Ah, so cool.
Yeah. good stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I did say that the other day. But so, what a cool homage.
It's so cool.
Well, we'll see if anything actually comes of it. But hey, we're already getting two fantastic Final Fantasy games this year. We got Chocobo Racing, and we got Final Fantasy Origins.
Well, we hope they're going to be fantastic. Chocobo GP, I have much higher hopes for.
Where's the 30-minute state of play on that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What the heck? All right. Before we move on to our next story, 554 with 5 Peruvian Soul. Thank you so much. Saying, just a reminder, since we're entering February, to not buy the Kingdom Hearts Switch Cloud versions unless they get an offline version. Yeah, they don't seem to be too good.
Yeah, agreed, unfortunately. Not great. I mean, like I said before when we were talking about it, if you literally know you'll never be able to play the series anywhere else but on Switch, still play it because it's Kingdom Hearts. But if you have any other platform, literally, that you can play the series on, you should play it there.
Exactly.
Yeah, please.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go ahead and jump over to our other big story of the day. Definitely the biggest one, but not quite as big as what Microsoft did, I think. But let's talk about it. So, Sony has acquired Bungie for $3.6 billion. As well, seems to be mutual. The Bungie's games will stay multi-platform for the foreseeable future. Sony indicates, or Jim Ryan indicates, that they did the acquirement because they wanted to have a better grasp of live service games. That's what they're really going to Bungie for. And then in addition, they are aware of some of the crunch workplace of Bungie, and they're definitely going to be addressing that, they said. And it just got more of that. Otherwise, Jim Ryan also says to expect more acquisitions. And to nip something in the bud real quick before it, because I've seen it around and it's already been clarified that no, this is not in response to Microsoft buying Activision. This was in the plans way before that. The way these things go, they can't. It's not just an instant like, oh crap, they bought something. We got in 2 weeks we're going to buy Bungie. Yeah. And it doesn't happen that quick. So this was already in the plans before the Activision acquisition took place.
Now, it's possible that maybe it did affect the timing of their announcement, but there's no way that this is a direct response. Like, maybe they moved up the timeline of their intended announcement, possibly, but it's definitely, this has been in the works for long before anyone knew about Microsoft acquiring acquisition. Like, Activision.
The Activision acquisition. It's fun to say.
This was currently in talks for like half a year, so there's no way they could have like predicted that Microsoft was going to make such a move like that within the same time frame, or at least announce it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, Shira Kuber brings up a good point. It could be a response to Microsoft buying Bethesda.
That's true.
They did. There was a lot of acquisitions on Microsoft's part a while back. Yeah. So
that is true.
This could be that, and Sony reacting to that going into play.
It's the acquisition wars.
Oh God.
Good Lord.
How are you feeling on this, Malik?
So I haven't really played any Bungie games, but I feel like I feel like I'm okay with this, I guess.
Fair enough.
I have no strong feelings one way or the other.
Yeah, obviously I played a lot of Halo, but I tried Destiny was coming out. It did nothing for me.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, it unfortunately Destiny never did anything for me either. But I think, you know, the most important takeaway for at least for now is that they don't seem to be curving Bungie's ability to continue bringing their titles to non-PlayStation platforms. It doesn't seem as though that this is them trying to, you know, bring in all of Bungie's franchises under the PlayStation umbrella exclusively. Maybe eventually that will be the case, but at least for the short term, that doesn't seem to be what's happening here. And Christopher Dring on Twitter mentions that apparently the main motivation behind this is to help Sony boost their own abilities in the live service and multi-platform game areas. And Sony is going to help Bungie strengthen their technical capabilities and the prospect of taking their games to movies and TV. So this seems to be less about the PlayStation ecosystem and more about how the two can help each other in a kind of a symbiotic way.
I guess that makes sense to a certain degree, but it is kicking off just a larger effect of something I'm worried about. Was like, man, we are losing third-party studios like crazy.
Consolidation.
Although it is kind of funny that I think about that Bungie used to be part of Activision, or at least worked with Activision with Destiny before they went self-publishing. So,
right.
That's wild.
It is It is wild to think that, as Jason Schreier points out, rightfully so, Bungie put Xbox on the map, and now they're part of PlayStation Studios. And yet, now with Activision, like PlayStation characters like Crash are now under the Microsoft umbrella. 2022 needs to chill the hell out, because it's only
January. Yet.
Yeah, it's still January 31st. Chill out, 2022.
It is just
for a year.
Weird.
it's, yeah.
I did see somebody point out this, like, man, Sony really wanting to get that classic Bungie IP and under the stable, Oni. Does anybody remember Oni?
I do. I might even have a copy of that lying around somewhere, weirdly enough, yeah.
I saw advertisements for it, especially after Halo came out. It was like, oh, hey, this game that was previously made by Bungie. There you go. Check it out. Basically anime-esque third-person shooter, I believe. On PS2, yeah.
Oh, just some extra details here, or input from a 5-year Destiny fan in denim McJeans in our live audience chat, mentioning they said they're committed to multi-platform, and for years Bungie have talked about expanding the Destiny universe into other media, film, TV, what have you, and Sony could definitely help with that. And they've already confirmed all 3 of the announced expansions for the next few years are still all coming to every platform. So yeah, thank you for that extra bit of insight, Denim McJeans. Oh, I love that name every time. I love it. Because, yeah, as you've heard, none of us are Destiny super fans here on the panel today. So this is helpful. Helpful insight. Thank you.
Now, Jim Ryan did mention more acquisitions. Who do you think they'll go for?
To expect more.
I don't know.
I don't think we'll see Sony outright buying like Square Enix or Capcom or anything like that. I think they're just too big.
Yeah, I can't see that happening, honestly. But yeah, it's like, is this a race now? Like, what's going on this year?
I hope they don't. I mean, yeah, Jim did say to expect more acquisitions, but like you, Derek, I'm worried about consolidation as well. I don't want to see all these third parties snapped up into, you know, specific console ecosystems. I don't think we have to worry about Nintendo doing this, but
I don't
clearly
think so.
We do about Sony, because Jim Ryan says we do. I don't know who it would be, but I feel like Square Enix is probably, I don't think it's going to happen, but that's the one everybody kind of seems to go to as soon as you start thinking about PlayStation acquiring a major third-party studio.
Mm-hmm.
Square Enix is usually the first port of call.
Mr. L mentions FromSoft. That would be another big one.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Maybe Platinum. Maybe, but no.
I can't. No.
No.
I can't.
No, never mind. Because Nintendo's too in bed with them. Never mind. Yeah, Nintendo's too in bed with them.
Yeah.
So that, you know, press F to Jason. I love your idea. Someone buy Konami and actually make some games with their IPs. Hell yes. Sony, please acquire Konami and make some games using Konami IPs. Please. Please, please, please.
That would be something. But I don't know. Yeah.
Azran makes a great point. Let's hear about more people acquiring PS5s first before we talk about Sony acquiring.
Hey, you don't need to worry about it. They're making more PS4s. That totally solves the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't acquiring a PS5 till I see Sly Cooper on that thing.
You might be waiting a while, my friend.
I know.
I don't know if you heard, but I saw the other day that, or a few weeks ago, that Ghost of Tsushima has sold more by itself, has sold more than the entirety of the Sly game, Sly series.
Jeez.
That's no small. I think those games did okay, but I don't think they did anywhere near Ghost of Tsushima numbers.
No. No, they were a distant third to all that. Would be nice,
I could see FromSoft being a thing. I think another interesting point of speculation could be Bandai Namco. Imagine if anime games like, you know, DBZ and all were suddenly exclusive to PlayStation going forward. That would be a huge, huge get. I think we're going to be mainly looking at smaller studios that Jim is talking about here. I don't think that we're going to see like a big rash.
I think it's Capcom's more like Enix.
Yeah.
This might be the Bethesda equivalent that for Sony compared to you know, Microsoft, but you know, the, all those smaller studios that they got, I think we'll see something on the level of like, the developers of Fallout New Vegas. It's, what are they called? I'm so blanking on them. I hate when that happens, where I know a developer, but I'm Obsidian. Thank you, Jet Set. Something on the level of Obsidian.
Right. I was like, I thought you were talking about Bethesda, but you said developer, not publisher. I was like, yeah, Obsidian. Yeah.
So something on the level of Obsidian makes sense to me.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
But
yeah, right, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how it goes. I agree. I hope that it's not all consuming because I don't want to see the industry go in that direction in a general sense.
Yeah, I hope it slows down, but we'll see what ends up happening.
Yeah,
it's the wild. Well, I'd say it's the Wild West, but now it's honestly more like the just. Acquisition, I don't know, Acquisition Inc.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see. All right. Well, let's, before we get to our final story of the day, we got some more super chats. First up, Thomas Hinton with $9.99. Thank you so much. Says, since Xbox is buying Activision Blizzard and Sony's buying Bungie, I kind of want Nintendo to buy Platinum just to stay competitive. I find all this buying bad for the industry. Who would you want Nintendo to buy?
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Who would I want them to buy? I mean, honestly, I'd like to see them buy Rare back from Microsoft. Just get you know, but line. Again, but it's also not
it's,
the same.
It's not the same Rare.
So it's not the same Rare. Again, we were just talking about how we don't really want to see the big three snap of all these developers. But if I had to choose, probably like Capcom or Sega, I guess. No, Capcom, not Sega. Probably more Capcom. Mm. But I'm saying I don't want that to happen. It's only if I were forced to choose. I think it's better that all of these third-party companies remain, not locked to one console's ecosystem and audience.
I would say maybe Retro Studios, if Nintendo were to buy somebody. Like, I feel better when acquisitions do happen, when it feels like it makes sense, like when Next Level Games, all they were doing were Nintendo games for, like, the last decade and a bit. And then I remember when Sony bought Sucker Punch, and I was like, wait, you guys didn't buy them already?
Doesn't Nintendo already own Retro? I think they already do.
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure they do.
They only exclusively made games for Nintendo consoles.
Yeah. They're essentially a second-party studio for...
Yeah, but not first. They're not first-party, are they?
No.
They're not first-party, but they are a subsidiary of Nintendo. So they are officially considered... owned by Nintendo in a controlling sense. So yeah,
okay.
Nintendo already owned them.
I will say Mercury Steam.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah.
Lock that down.
Maybe they could help iron out some of the crunch problems at Mercury Steam that we heard about during Metroid Dread's development.
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice.
All right. Next up.
Yeah.
Thomas Hinton again with a $5 donation. Thank you so much. Saying, following up on what I previously said, not necessarily want, but would prefer them to buy. Okay, that kind of cool. Fair. There we go.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Rob Arman X with a $5 super chat. Thank you so much. Saying, breaking news. I'm happy to announce that Arman X is acquiring a chili dog for $3.26. That is a good investment.
That is a fantastic investment. Hell yeah.
Happy for you.
Chili dogs, baby.
I ate a chili dog seeing the Sonic movie, and that was the worst chili dog I ever had. It made me so sad.
No.
Oh, it's supposed to enhance the chili dog.
That's just unfortunate.
That's so bad.
I think it was the cheese. I think I went a little too ham on the cheese.
Ooh, not good.
Gotcha.
Honestly, one of the best chili dogs I've ever had is just there was no cheese. It was just really good chili.
Mm.
So
yeah.
Mm.
I'll cut back on the cheese for the sequel.
There you go. That's perfect. RecBCQ with a $5 super chat saying, if you want Nintendo to buy Rare, have them get Playtonic. They proved themselves with Impossible Lair. Yeah.
Dude, I completely agree with you. I should have said that to begin with. Not Rare, just buy Playtonic. I completely agree. They proved themselves with Impossible Lair. I thought that game was so amazing, and I'd love to see what they could do under Nintendo's umbrella. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Impossible Lair, fantastic. The Donkey Kong Country game I didn't know I needed.
Yeah, right? Seriously. I mean, it was essentially like DKC4 in a way. Like, it almost was like a DKC4 we never got. Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Playtonic is owned by Tencent. Buy Tencent.
Is the minority, a minority stake? Is that the same thing?
It might be, just a minority stake. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't see how anybody could possibly afford Tencent.
I know.
Microsoft and Disney. Right.
Okay, it is just a... I know, Rob. It's a joke.
They can't buy the CCP.
Oh, God. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get to our final story of the day. Something fun and simple and, you know, all that good stuff. You know, we talked about FromSoft and how they made it on PS4. And everybody wants Bloodborne come to PC, get the proper 60 FPS. Well, you know, maybe not get that. Let's get something a little different. So a fan-made Bloodborne PS1 demake is now available on PC, and it is utterly wild. I'm actually going to bring up the trailer here to play while we're talking about this.
This is so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, it's not working like I had set up, and I thought I had just waited, but no. Hold on.
Well, I can post a tweet in our
chat. Oh, no, I got it. It just decided to be mean to me. There we go.
Cool. This is so freaking neat. Like, I feel like you see a lot of demakes and such in like 8 and 16-bit styles, which are also really cool. I'm all about that. But I feel like you don't see as much fan stuff in this early 3D era that intentionally tries to look like the PS1 and N64 era of video games. And this is so authentic. This is so cool. And I'm not even a Soulsborne fan. That's the thing, and I still think this is awesome.
Yeah, like I'm not a Bloodborne guy or Soulsborne or anything like that, but I cannot deny how good just that trailer looked. And it was like spooky. I was like, ooh, I'm getting chills just from seeing all this. I liked it.
Yeah, and God, the music is completely authentic too. It sounds like that kind of soundtrack from that era of PS1. This is so lovingly crafted, and you can tell. It's so neat.
Mm-hmm.
I've still not played the original Bloodborne, but it's so clever. I think that's the big thing here. It just feels so clever how they put it all together. It's authentic. And as you said, Ash, you don't get this PlayStation aesthetic too often from indies or really anything. So to finally get that feels like a bit of a triumph almost.
Yeah. I will never know myself, because this is one of those games that is locked behind the giant spider wall of games I'll never play. Never going to happen, period. But I so appreciate what they're doing here, and I have all my respect goes out to the developers of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I finally have the trailer playing, and it you know what it feels like to me? This feels like Legacy of Kain: Soul Reaver. Just looking at it. I think that there's a lot of inspiration there.
Oh, yeah. I could totally. Oh, God. Rob Armanek says, Ash, I'm going to make Bloodborne the next FAF session. We're going to beat the whole game. As long as you can carry me through the giant spider parts where I can just close my eyes, that's fine. That's fine. But even I have my limits. I can't traumatize myself for a Fighter Founder session, man. I'm sorry.
I'm going to break that fear of yours, Ash.
I'm already traumatized by the mere thought of Killamox and their threats to make me play Mega Man X6 or 7 for a Fighter Foundry session. But Bloodborne, anything with giant spiders would be even worse.
How do you feel about Squidder from Donkey Kong Country 2?
Oh, totally fine. I'm totally cool with like cartoon looking spiders and stuff. It's just the realistic looking ones. Like I can deal with the Twilight Princess Goma boss because it's like has armor on it. It's big, but it has armor and doesn't look like a realistic spider really. Whereas like the giant tarantulas in Resident Evil can't do it. I can't even just thinking about it makes me just want to jump out of my skin. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Squidder's got all them sneakers. He's kind of adorable.
Yeah. Like the Skulltulas in Twilight Princess terrify me. I can't deal with it.
Oh, but like, right. Those are a lot more real.
They're not as bad. Yeah, they look a lot more real, which is why. Also, one of my best friends, Jansen, being a real jerk here in our Patreon chat saying, Moon Rota says, oh, wait, Ash has arachnophobia. And Jansen says, yeah, it's pretty great to mess with him. Why would you do that?
So mean.
No, it's not fun. It's not great. Not at all.
So mean. That's.
Right. Ouch.
I did think of you when I was playing the original Demon Souls and that spider boss came up. I think it was like the one, there's an area boss just a spider boss. And I'm like, well, Ash is out.
That's one of the reasons I've never really been able to enjoy Resident Evil as much as I'd like to. I love the series in theory, but I can't deal with all the spider-like enemies, whereas Silent Hill doesn't really have that. And so I'm fine with that.
Spicy Panda reminded me of when we were playing Spyro, there's rock spiders that chase after you.
Oh, no.
Like, they're giant, can't kill them until you get special abilities, and, yeah.
Oh, hell no. No. Okay, good to know.
I love how this just devolved into let's torture Ash with spiders.
Yeah, we're just I'm just mentally cataloging all these games I'm not going to play. It's cool. Good to know. But back to this Bloodborne PS1 remake. Spiders or not, this is such a cool thing from a...
I want to see this more often.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so used to seeing remakes of, like, you know, sprite art, like those kind of remakes, but then using actual aesthetics from, like, old polygons and those kind of modelings. It's such a of its time aesthetic to see it in, like, this time to apply it to a game that everybody knows about. It's so cool to see.
It is really neat. And I want to see something like Horizon. Like Horizon Zero Dawn. I want to see a PS1 remake of what that would look like. Like Aloy's character model and the machines. I think that could be a really interesting one to see.
I'd like that.
That would be wild.
Yeah.
I can't think of any open world games. So I almost wonder if it's almost like the original GTA where it's top down instead. Seeing it all like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, I saw, what was it? Somebody made the intro to the Breath of the Wild 2 trailer, but it was like Ocarina of Time, like polygon models instead.
Oh, really? I hadn't seen that.
That was really cool. Yeah, maybe I'll try to find that one. But yeah, it was like, oh man, that's so cool. Like, imagine playing Breath of the Wild with like the Ocarina of Time, like model look and aesthetic back then.
Uh-huh. That's so cool.
It'd be really funny if somebody took... Final Fantasy VII Remake and made it back into the PS1 version following the storyline and gameplay of the PS4 and 5 version.
That'd be nice. Skull Kid Tiger in our patron chat says, so Sonic 06 win, Ash, dare I fight a founder? Hey, if you want to play Sonic 06 in a fight a founder session or multiple sessions, far be it for me to say no. If that's what you want to do, I'm ready and waiting.
Yeah.
I'd rather play that than X6 or X7, that's for sure.
Ouch.
I mean, they are truly that bad, in my opinion, at least. They are really bad. I mean, Sonic 06 is as well, but at least there are things you can kind of laugh at in that game. X6 and X7 are just trash.
Not even burned to the ground.
I was going to say, don't you want to burn it to the ground?
Now I've got Panda Otter reminding me that they, too, are threatening me with X6. I've got both Killamox and Spicy Panda Otter threatening me with Fight of Founder sessions of X6 and X7.
Torture Ash, available on our Patreon.
Head on over to patreon.com/GVGaming where you can find all the ways you can personally torture me.
All right. Well, let's before we end off the show today, we do have a few more super chats. First up, Brian Rivero with $1.99. Thank you so much, saying, we don't talk about Bruno, just good vibes. I think everybody's talking about Bruno now.
I just saw Encanto today, actually.
Oh, really? How'd you like it?
I liked it. It was pretty good. Nice. Yeah. And like, it wasn't like a grand epic, but it wasn't supposed to be, but it was like nice and humble, but had a lot to say. Really good stuff.
Yeah. It's one of those movies. I actually enjoy it more and more each time I watch it. It's easy to put it on the background and just enjoy it and really pick up on some extra details.
I still need to see it. It's on my short list of movies to catch up on.
You should.
Yeah. Definitely worth a watch.
Just like how I missed out on No Way Home. I'll get to see it.
I've been a bad Pixar fan because I've now missed out on both Encanto and Coco.
Encanto's Disney.
Oh, that's Disney. My bad. Pixar is Coco and Encanto's Disney.
You still gotta watch Coco.
I've been a bad animated movie fan recently. How about that?
You should definitely still watch Coco.
I know. It's on my short list.
Yeah. Next up, RecBCQ back with $5 Super Chat saying, I'm not sure why, but I heard Bloodborne and I thought Dovahkiin. I know that's Skyrim, but that's where my brain went. Oh, there you go. A demake of Skyrim into original Elder Scrolls.
Oh, I like it. Demakeception.
There we go. RecBCQ back one last time with $2 Super Chat saying, I'm going to draw Ash as a cartoony spider.
Nice. I want to see it. As long as it's cartoony, I'm all good.
There you go. Perfect.
I want to see it. I'm looking forward to it, man. Thank you.
All right. Well, with that, that is all the subjects for today. For today's news tonight. Ah, that's fun to say twice.
Today's news tonight. Yeah.
Interesting stuff going on. It felt like we had actual news to talk about. That's nice. We just didn't have a lot to say about particular news. That's the trap we kind of fell into. But, you know, you work with what you got, and we'll see how it all goes. But, of course, Malik, where can everybody find you at? Thank you so much for joining us, by the way.
Oh, well, thanks so much for having me, you guys. It's been great. I wish I could have contributed more to some of the news stories. That's fine. Yeah, I feel like I did okay. But guys... Oh, well, thanks, guys. But if anyone wants to see what I do, you can see me on my own channel, The Cartoon Gamer, where I do, like, countdowns, reviews. I'm making a countdown right now to celebrate my 10th anniversary of being on YouTube. And let's see, I'm also doing... I also do stuff with Did You Know Gaming, whether I'm writing, editing... I haven't done a voiceover in a while, but yeah, I'll usually be writing, editing, researching, but that's where you can find my stuff. And I also do stuff with Matt McMuscles. I edit for him too sometimes, but I'm everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. Prolific is the good way to put it. So definitely check out Malik.
Oh yeah.
Great guy. Definitely worth checking out. But of course, we also have to give a big old shout out to our patrons, big and small. Thank you so much. Without you, I mean, we'd be lost, and we don't want to be lost. We want to be found. So thank you so much for supporting us, supporting the channel. It's all appreciated. But of course, an extra special thank you to our producers. Without you, this show simply would not be possible. It means the world, and just it's. Thank you. That's all I got to say. Just a big
old
thank you.
We're because of you. If you didn't have an audience, we couldn't be here doing all this, you know, fun stuff, you know, for you. So thank you for caring about what we do.
Exactly. And of course, an extra special thank you to our executive producers and above. And that includes Brandon Bovia, Rob Arman X, Fangs, Dan Entwistle, Z Patty, Hyrule Hermit, Sky Blue Flames, Eastman 23, Adam O'Sullivan, Octopuppet, Richard Herrera, Michael Phone, The D-Pad, Vesmio, Waffle King, BertJ373, Critter XD, Kitty Kongfax, Angel Martinez, Vedran Hotek, Joshua Hunter, Benny Yao, Sapphire, Azran127, Black King, Pagrima, Geller, Joseph Rutkin, Titus Malvolio, Geeky Griffin, Lucky Wonderfish, Kyle, TopDog23100, Young Ben Kenobi, Doug Shomix, Andrew Medeiros, Becca, Rox the Cat, Killamox, Eddie B, Kai Ed, Kit Fisto, Kenneth Lee Stingle, Jessica Toad, Deaneth, Sci-Fi Lullabies, Michael McCall, Matthew Wong, Goron Amber, Straight Lace, Justin Matthews, Hubie, Too Much Spaghetti, Mega Conrad, Ascaron 809, Rioner, Captain Finlandia, 60 Minutes and 60 Seconds, Nathan Steele, Spicy Pandaughter, The Game Orb, Dano the Artist, Super Gamer Dude 101, Grantles, Ravelox, Synchro Lord, Rosa Bowling, Hi Steve's Mom, Kane Woolley, Skull Kid Tiger, Darksteel 01, Jason Uloa, Jaden Buck, Phantom Project, Cystic Warrior 29, DJ Jurassic, Dinner Sonic, Derek, Jeff Ed, Blazestar 25, Stag Nasty, Mumbling Yeti, Cameron Sharp, Screamo Shaman, Mason Riley, Keel, Santi the Person, Brendan Hess, Hustlebun, Noah Fitterer, Calvin Atkinson, Hanaru 77, Brooke Obscura, Anthony Wilson Jr., Adization Land, and Willow Pingree. Thank you all so much. Holy crap, that's a lot of names. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger, I swear. But yes, thank you all so much for your continued support. And remember that you too can become a patron over at patreon.com/dvgaming, where you can get access to our exclusive post-show and ad-free content for as little as $5 a month. Thank you all so much for watching, and if you like this video, be sure to subscribe to Good Vibes Gaming for more good times like these. Until next time, good night and good vibes.
Bye, everybody.
Till we meet again.
Bye, everybody.